You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
KXNO. Ken Miller, Trent Condon. They are Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Right, good morning, everybody, and welcome to a Monday of Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. 2 hours of sports conversation with you, and thank you for at least carving out some of your morning to spend it with us. Coming up on the BMW of Des Moines guest list here today at about 25-30 minutes after the hour, we will get to Dylan Montz from the Ames Tribune. Got to get Dylan in early. There's the Big 12 teleconference with all the coaches goes at 11. So we'd love to have the flexibility to switch Doc and Dylan on Mondays, but c'est la vie. Dylan Montz, 10:30 from the Ames Tribune. We're going to get Nick Athan in here, Chiefs Insider, the Chiefs and the Chargers, Monday Night Football tonight, AFC West. Sign me up for that one as the Chiefs try to hold off the surging Oakland Raiders. Did you see, by the way, good to see you.
You too.
Did you see, and I guess maybe this is an every week occurrence, especially if the Raiders win in the black hole and off goes Chucky. God, they love him, Trent.
As they should.
Oh my God, they just love him.
He delivered in a big way, had them very relevant for a long time before, of course, departing to Tampa.
Where he won a Super Bowl.
And he is relevant once again. Yeah. He has got that team. You know, I had the thought cross my mind as I was watching, flipping back and forth with that one yesterday with Cincinnati in the late window, and I had the points while I was keeping a close eye on it, was, what if the Raiders did have Antonio Brown? The whole, the goofiness of the offseason and the frostbite on the feet and everything was okay. Do the stories come out? Do we find out the stories that we did? Were the wheels already in motion throughout the summertime? Because I don't believe so. I'm not a reporter. I don't know how those things are done. But I don't believe that's the case. Do these stories come out? Do they make the light of day? Or is he out there with this football team and adding to already a pretty good offense?
Yeah, interesting point. Or is it, does he detract from a pretty good offense just because of the shenanigans and all the other stuff that goes along with him? But they're playing very well. Are they in the playoffs? I don't know if they might be on the outside looking in. They're very close if they're not. So we shall watch this one tonight as the Raiders in a really good spot. All right, we're going to get to Iowa and Iowa State in just a second. But we've got Nick Athan coming up at 10:50, the 11 o'clock hour. Bama, Trent, and I will go around college football, I assume. That we'll start with Tua and the Alabama and what happened nationally in college football this week. Maybe not necessarily around that game. One of my bigger takeaways, how about that quarterback from Ole Miss, Plumlee?
Yes.
My God.
Ole Miss can run the football.
Well, this kid in particular can run the football.
And
LSU's got some warts.
They do. That defense has issues big time. And imagining them against
Ohio State,
the Buckeyes, or Clemson.
Trent, I think the what you have to do if you're one of those four teams. Well, if you're one of those four teams, you're one of those four teams. But I don't think you want to be in the 2-3. Because I think right now it's Clemson and Ohio State looking at each other. That's almost a not fair elimination game, but that's what it's all about. And that's why we clamored for the playoff, and that's what we've got. So we shall watch that one. But yeah, LSU got some warts in, as far as the run defense, no doubt about that. And then Scott Dockerman will join us at 11:30. We will recap the Iowa win over Minnesota as they handed Minnesota their first loss of the year. And then Mr. Monday Night will make an appearance before we skedaddle on out of here at noon. I don't care where we start. Both of the in-staters had resonating wins. Iowa State beating a Texas team. Somebody just tweeted, and I could care less about Fields. Rushing the field.
Oh, does it do it for you?
It's the worst sports topic in the history of sports talk radio. It really is. It makes me cringe. But regardless, let me just tweet it.
Yeah.
And he makes a valid point on this one. So I'll share this one. It's kind of a slap at Tom Herman that Iowa State's closed the gap so much on Texas that Clove fans didn't even budge.
Yeah.
So that's as far as we'll go.
Well,
anyways.
I see things a little bit differently, too, because, I mean, most of the people in the media, they're sitting in the press box or they're down on the field taking video or whatever it is. Most games I go to, I don't go there as a media member. I go as a fan. I sit in a seat and I storm the field. And it's fun.
Of course, do it.
It's a great time.
Fill your boots. Have
yes.
at it.
Have fun.
Right.
Have
you
fun.
Don't want it, don't do it.
Why do we have to sit up here on Mount Pius because we happen to have a microphone and look down us. Upon the people for rushing the field? And how dare you rush the field? Or how dare the other fans go out there and have fun.
You
enjoy it.
Whatever
it,
you want to do.
It's entertainment.
Doesn't
That's
affect
what it
us.
Is. They're not going to be arrested.
Nope.
They're not going to take anybody down. I was on the field
We're
in 2002.
Spending too much time talking about it, Trent. It's driving me crazy. Let's move on.
All right.
Let's talk to what happened between the lines, and there were some really good. Both of the games were. You know what? I want to start with the Sally, can we? Because, you know, as an Iowa State kicker, and it's been easy to make him a mark or whoever's mm-hmm. in his spot.
There's been a long line.
There's been a lot of them, right? And for him to step up and make that kick. I mean, seriously, great piece of video, by the way. And I think Murph played it last night on Sound Off. Did you see the Cyclone fan that couldn't watch?
Yes.
I mean, that was phenomenal, right?
It was,
and
yeah.
Here's the thing. I have to assume that that guy was in every section at Jack Trice Stadium,
mm-hmm.
right?
You,
he was
you've
in every
seen
section.
This song and dance too many times in the past.
Yeah, that's turned away from the field because you just can't watch.
I'm out.
And they'll find out by the reaction of the crowd, and that's exactly what. That's an awesome piece of video. That's a great piece of video. But a Sally, and good for you, young man, as you split the sticks, and Iowa State gets bowl eligible on that game-winning kick. It was just terrific, the whole leading up to it, the Texas jumping offside, giving Iowa State a free first down, not allowing Texas to get the football back. They played it exactly right. And lo and behold, he made the kick. And here's the thing, Trent. When it left his foot, this wasn't like, oh, my God, is it going to...
No.
It was right down the pipe.
Yep. Nailed it. Absolutely yep. hit it. You mentioned that offsides penalty, though. It was not Connor Asali that was going to kick that field goal before the offsides.
No, I know. And they missed it before. And the kid missed it, too.
Now, that was a little funky. I mean, the offsides is already there. The snap was back. I think he was just getting a swing more than anything.
Yeah, but Narvison missed.
He did miss. Uh-huh. He did miss that one. If that doesn't happen, if the offsides doesn't happen, does Narvison make that kick?
No.
I don't think so either.
I don't think he does either. Sally's good from in close, and he certainly was. Brock Purdy, that spin, when he sucked that defensive end down, Trent, this defensive end, I don't know if he blinked and put his arms out because he had to think that the next thing he feels is going to be a quarterback in his grasp and he's about to take and spin. He's out of it and finds DeShonte Jones and 75 yards later. Breece Hall is doing Breece Hall things. There's so much good about this football team right now. It's hard to pick one thing. I mean, Tavon Lyle, Kyle talked about him a couple of weeks ago. He jumped off the television screen.
He was really good early, too.
Jamal Johnson was phenomenal in the game. Oazarike was good. The offensive line is finally looking like a college offensive line, mm-hmm. and it's been a long time since Iowa State's been able to see that. Brock Purdy. Unbelievable, some of the plays that he makes. All right, over in Iowa City, Trent, look at it. It was two halves, right? The first 30 minutes and then the second 30 minutes of football. I thought Brian Ferentz maybe called his best 30 minutes of football. Or was it play calling or was it execution of the plays that have been called every week and they just weren't? I mean, where are you on that? Because I think
it's a cop-out. It is it's a little bit of both.
I think so, too.
But it's execution. The offensive line, and Kyler Schott back in there, he did not play well.
Mm-mm. He had a bad game.
He was, but there was just something about, I think, schematically the game plan that they came up with, and they were getting their playmakers the ball. They were getting it to Tyler Goodson, who got the start and was excellent.
Yeah, where's Oliver Martin going to play, by the way?
I don't think there's a spot for
him.
There's
not a spot for him.
There's not a spot for him.
Look, I think we can all think that there's more to this story. Oliver Martin got beat out.
Got beat out, and he's been banged up. Well, he had an injury in August, mm-hmm. and people tell you he's been banged up all year. Who is he better?
I don't know. Not Reganey, not Tracy.
No.
Not Smith.
No.
Not ISM. None of them.
He's the fifth best receiver on the roster.
I agree with you.
And what the fifth best
now,
receiver?
He obviously can, you know, compete and get better, and we'll see. But for this year, not taking him out. Here's my question about the football game. If I'm going to pick a nit, that's a very small one because Iowa won. Where was Young at the end of the football game? Where was Torn Young? Remember when Goodson got dinged up?
Yeah, yeah.
And you tweeted, and you're 100% right, why are they snapping the damn ball with 12 seconds left on the play clock?
And this is not just an Iowa thing. Teams do this all the time. We talked about the Wisconsin loss to Illinois. It was because of that arrogance doing just that.
Great point.
They had four snaps in double digits as they're trying to run out the clock. Gave Illinois enough time to come back and win that football game. And the same thing here. That is as simple as it goes. But it's a relevant question.
Yeah, Torin Young needs to be on the field in place of Sargent. They need somebody to pound the football, I thought. And look, again, I'm picking. They won the football game. They knocked off a previously unbeaten Minnesota. Nate Stanley was good. Maybe missed a couple, but Nate Stanley's going to do that every game, seemingly. Tyrone Tracy. Boy, oh boy, they got something in this kid. Smith Marcette is something. Now, did Brandon Smith see the field? Because the announcer said...
He did. He played one snap.
That was it, though, right?
And it was when Tracy was out and... Who else got banged up? Smith Marcette. We're both banged up, so they went... How about that? They went to a banged up Brandon Smith over Oliver Martin.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That says it all, right? What a difference Christian Welch makes in this football team.
Yes.
And
you do wonder... Would have the Wisconsin game at least looked a little bit different? Certainly the fourth quarter with Christian Welch in there.
Yeah, because of those young linebackers, they had a tough day.
They did. They played poorly.
Yeah. Christian Welch was really good. Hankins and Stone, they did their things in the football game.
Kerner dropping an interception.
Oh, Trent. And that was a wounded duck.
To our neighbors to the north, and I read everything up there, and there was a lot of clamoring and hand-wringing.
What was their biggest beef?
Well, of course, Phil said it was the worst game that they played all year. Well, I mean, you snuck by Georgia Southern. Did you really play?
Yeah, no.
No.
It was the worst game they played maybe in the Big Ten.
You can make that argument. Yeah. They were here on fire to beat Purdue.
South Coast State, too.
Yes, yeah. At Fresno in overtime. Still, Iowa made mistakes, too. You mentioned early on, and Iowa scored on that drive, but had Smith Marcette wide open. They had the hit and go. We didn't get the flags. Well, he got held on that play. There are so many of these. Iowa dropped two, if not three, interceptions in this football game.
I think three, probably.
Certainly Kerner.
Yeah.
Certainly Jamon Colbert.
Yep.
And there was one other in there. This was not, it was just, Minnesota just played bad. No. That's not what this was. This was.
Well, they were much better in the second half than they were in the first half.
But I think some of the frustration that's still lingering for Iowa fans, even with the win, is you play great in the first half, and you have all these different things that you're doing. You're moving the football around, and then you have 69 yards of total offense in the second half. It's a fair and special. This is how he wins these games. Hang around and win it late, and that's what they did. But at least a little bit of the frustration still lingering with the offense. That was better. That was doing things. You get the win, another win now. What, five of their last six against top seven teams in November in Kinnick?
Is that what it is? That's pretty special.
That's incredibly special to do something like that. I know it's just Minnesota. It's just the Gophers.
Minnesota was unbeaten.
That's a good Minnesota team.
Yes, they are
a very talented team. Yep. And I'm going to be very happy when Johnson moves on because that guy is a stud.
Although he dropped a couple of balls, Trent.
I got a number for you. So Dane Belton, they went nickel. And they went with what they call the cash position. Gave up. When he was targeted, eight passes, he was targeted eight times for 162 yards.
Yeah.
That's bad.
They found something there.
Yeah. They found the mismatch they were going to exploit. How about Riley Moss?
Yeah.
Riley Moss, who...
Stepped up big, didn't he?
He has had some rough moments, but even a year ago against Minnesota, they got him a few different times. He had a couple of interceptions in that game up at TCF Bank. Same thing
He's
here.
He's got a short memory, Trent. He
absolutely does. I was in good shape in that defensive backfield.
They are.
They're going to... be getting guys back healthy, too. Think of the injuries they had. Julius Brents, he's redshirting this year. He'll be back next season. DJ Johnson was in and out of the lineup, back for a full season. How about Merriweather, your starter at that other safety spot? He's going to be taking a redshirt year. There's a lot of talent back there. The future is bright along the defense, but the brightest star was A.J. Epenesa.
He played his best game, and I love when they move him inside, Trent, because he is able to do some things that, or he's able to prevent the offensive line from doing some things to try and keep him from wreaking havoc in a football game, and man, he certainly did this week. Yeah, he looked like the guy that came into the season as a top five projected pick in this coming NFL draft. 94 was all over the field. His best game of the year, I thought.
He played well. Golston was out there, really played at
Golston
a high level.
Golston has his best game of the year, and it's not even close.
He's been playing well, too, over the last month. This defensive line is starting to go.
Avion Nixon made some plays in the football game. Latimer was all right.
Yeah, yeah. Overall, the defensive line played well. You get a lot middle linebacker back. quarterback. Mm-hmm. This is still a really, really good defense. Yep. Tanner Morgan, he made some throws, and he had some drops back behind him. He was good.
Brady Reef, too. There were some Brady Reef moments in the game.
Yeah. Who was the other one? Schulte. He showed up, I think, a couple of times. Yeah, just overall, it was a great defensive effort against a very talented team. And Minnesota couldn't run the ball. That was the other thing. Three very talented running backs. They couldn't find any running room. It was all on Tanner Morgan.
Yeah. Do you think that was a product of having to watch a tape from the week before? And pride a little bit, right? Because, I mean, Taylor ate their lunch.
He did.
And he did. Look,
especially
he does,
in the fourth quarter.
Especially in the fourth quarter. And that shouldn't catch anybody off guard because you've watched this kid play football, basically has since he came into the league.
Can we talk about Phil Fleck for a moment?
What do you want to bring up?
His lying.
His lying? Okay. I don't know where you're going.
This is the reason that I can't stand the guy. And it's because of things like this in his press conference after the game. So, as we saw...
I saw the press conference after the game.
He got a penalty for running onto the field.
But that wasn't the first time he's done. He does this all the time.
He does when guys are down.
Right. Didn't he say in the press conference that he wants his players when they're lying on the field, the first person they see before the trainers get there is him. Didn't he say that?
His excuse was that he saw his player laying there motionless, and then he brings up Eric Grant, who was one of his players,
right, and was paralyzed.
Yeah. Paralyzed.
Yeah.
And this is too much for me. The elite, the row, the boat, all that garbage. Fine. Do your thing. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Everybody has themes and slogans. All right. But to come up with this excuse that I was out there because I saw my player laying motionless on the ground when he wasn't.
But he does that all the time.
Sure. And you're not allowed to. You can't just sprint out of the field as a coach whenever you want.
Right.
Your player was up in 2 seconds.
He was. That's true.
He was up. You can't just sprint onto the field. You can't do these things. And then to bring Eric LeGrand in the conversation, that to me was embarrassing. To go to that level, just to try to cover your own tracks when you made a huge mistake. And he knew he made a mistake.
I was still going to get the ball.
Because it was a dead ball foul.
Right, right.
And the personal foul that was against
Belton.
Yeah. But it was the play over. They'd be moved back half the distance to the goal.
Right. As soon as the ball hit the turf, the play was over.
This is the part that I can't trust the guy. Say I made a mistake. Put it on you, but instead you're coming up with an excuse, and then you're tugging at the heartstrings, bringing up a player of yours that was paralyzed.
I can't get in his head for that one. He was up. I mean, it was Johnson, right? It was Tyler Johnson, and he dropped the football. I mean, he's got to make that catch. It hit him right in the number. But he was up very early. And because somebody had pointed out a couple of times early in the game when other Gophers had gotten hurt that the first guy out there was Phil Fleck.
I don't know. He's a different dude.
No, he's a different dude.
He is a different kind of guy. Bringing LeGrand into that really, it took me from just disliking him just because he's a goof.
I can't get in his head, so I don't have as much problem with you as you do, rather, with him. But... He made a mistake. Just own it. I agree.
Yeah,
because Johnson was up. He wasn't like he didn't linger. He wasn't laying on the turf for any.
He didn't think his player was actually paralyzed out there.
Mm-hmm.
Stop with the excuses.
So what do you think he was just trying to do?
He was trying to get out there and yell at the officials. I think that's more than anything what it was.
What did he want?
He wasn't going
to get the ball. It was going to cost him 2 yards.
Right.
That's all he was going to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He probably thought that he should have got that. It should have been tacked on, and they should have got an automatic first down. Maybe that's what it was, and he was out there hollering about it.
Yeah, play was over, Phil.
Yeah. Let it go. Mm-hmm. Let it go, dude. These are the parts that it's a struggle for me. The whole pomp and circumstance, him leading his team out of the field. He's got to be
sprinting,
first. It's all about Phil.
He talked about that. He's 38, and he still can run, I think he said in his press. I did see the press conference you're referring to. The LeGrand thing never resonated with me, but I did watch it. Yeah, okay, I'll give you that to some extent. But look, the story of the day is Iowa, and that's a big win for this football team. Here comes Illinois. There's still a lot of season to play for, Trent.
Yeah, yeah.
They're still 9-3 with the potential of knocking them. I want Nebraska to win so badly this week. I think we all should. I really do, because if indeed Iowa goes over on Black Friday and beats Nebraska, and they'll be favored to do so, as much as the state hates or the Hawkeye fans hate Nebraska, and that's your rival, wouldn't it feel even sweeter to prevent them from postseason?
Oh yeah,
I mean, wouldn't that just be a cherry on top of it?
But nobody wants to cheer for Nebraska. If you're a Hawkeye fan, you don't want to.
Can't you maybe not cheer, but maybe not. You know, save some of your angst. Let it build up for Black Friday. Because if they beat Maryland, and they're favored to do so, when they kick the ball off, what time is it? 1:30 in the afternoon?
Yes,
1:30 on the afternoon a week from Friday? And to be able to beat your rival and prevent them from postseason, I think it even makes it sweeter.
Knocking them out of a bowl game? It does. But you're still not going to find a Hawkeye fan that's going to root.
Or will admit to, not rooting, not openly rooting, but you know what? You can look the other way if they get past Maryland.
So I watched a lot of the Nebraska-Wisconsin game. That was my main game in the early window.
Likewise.
They were moving the ball. Martinez looked good at times, but
he had to, Trent. He had so many guys that were out.
It just never felt like they were actually in that game. It was just, Wisconsin kept them at an arm's distance.
And covered, right? Wisconsin covered.
They did, yeah. Got the late touchdown.
I thought it'd be tight. But I'm like you. I never thought that Wisconsin was in any jeopardy of losing this football game.
They're just better. They're more physical. Uh-huh. They can kind of do whatever they wanted whenever.
Well, Nebraska scored to make it 7-0. The ensuing kickoff, they returned the kickoff. It's 7-7.
Yeah.
I mean, any momentum. The balloons hadn't even. You know, they were still in sight for crying out loud.
Still lingering.
The game was tied. Oh man, I don't like that.
No,
I don't like that that tradition they have over there.
I get a kick out of it when they're getting shut out in the fourth quarter.
And they're still holding on.
Those goons are still sitting there holding on to a red balloon.
You know who's happy with that? The PETA folks are happy with that because there's no birds eating those balloons.
Landed in lakes, fish eating them down.
That's true. I'm surprised that that's still a thing. Honestly,
they got to be like biodegradable or something. Right. There's got to be some kind of specialty over there.
I don't know my balloons, Trent. I'll have to take your word on it. All right, Dylan Mons coming up at the bottom of the hour. Just real quick on the NFL from yesterday. Really nice win for the Vikings after they sleptwalked through the first 30 minutes of that football game.
45,
to be honest, yeah, because they scored in the third quarter, but the fourth quarter was really good.
First time since 1994 a team down 16 or more in the fourth quarter has won a game in the NFL. I found that incredible.
Really?
First time since 94.
Well, yeah, there was one that's, what was it, a team that was down 20-plus going into the second half was 0-99. So if you were up 20-0, kicking the ball off in the second, the last was 0-99, and now it's 1-99 as the Vikings came back to beat the Broncos. I'm glad they did. Here's the thing about Denver. I think they're getting better.
Yeah.
As a Broncos fan, look, you want to lose the rest of your game. I truly believe this. I really do. You want a good pick in the first round and a good pick in the second round, and you know maybe your guy's not going to be there if you're whatever. But I think you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm not sure that they have a quarterback, although I think Brandon Allen's good.
He's fine.
I think he is. Who would you rather have, Brandon Allen or Mitch Trubisky?
Brandon Allen.
Boy, Trent.
It's bad.
Here's the worst part about this if you're a Bears fan. You got a really good defense, and you don't want to waste these defenses.
Oh, it's wasted.
Oh, it's clearly wasted.
Best case scenario next year, who's a quarterback? You've mentioned Cam Newton.
I don't know.
Certainly doesn't do much for
me. No, I don't think he should. Cam Newton hasn't been the same quarterback since he made the business decision in the Super Bowl to not fall on the fumble that was at his feet in the Super Bowl. Not week 3, not week 9, the Super Bowl.
Jameis Winston, isn't he coming up to the end of his contract?
You know, it depends. He's two good games, one. Oh my God, how is this guy in the league?
Yeah, he is on pace right now to break. Saw this stat during the game yesterday, the Bucs game. If he has now 14 turnovers, interceptions and fumbles, over his final, six games left, he will break this player's record for most turnovers in their first 5 years of their career. Take a guess.
You're talking Jameis Winston.
Yes. He's got to turn it over 14 more times to break the record.
Is he a Hall of Fame quarterback?
He is not.
He's not a Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't know.
Solid quarterback.
But not a Hall of Famer.
Not a Hall of Famer. Number two on the list, Peyton Manning.
I was going to say, that was going to be my guess. That's why I was asking.
Number one.
Who is it?
Jake Plummer. One of your old quarterbacks.
Well, he did his bad stuff in there. Well, he did some bad stuff in Denver. His body of work was comprised in Arizona.
Not exactly a conversation you want to be in.
But he wasn't a terrible quarterback, Jake Plummer.
No, he was fine.
Jake Plummer was all right.
He was all right, yeah. And Peyton Manning, of course, turned into, that first season he had, 30 interceptions, like that?
Troy Aikman. I mean, John Elway lined up under guard. It's tough. This league is tough.
It is. If Jameis Winston was the quarterback for the Bears next year, he's really talented.
Mm-hmm.
They would have to get a lot more help, though, outside.
We need an offensive line, too.
That would help.
At least some parts.
Can they figure out James Daniels inside? What is going on there?
I don't know, Trent.
Cody Whitehair can't snap. He can't snap the football.
Why don't they just, isn't it an easy fix? You go here and you take his place.
That's what they tried.
Right.
For the first, nine games of the season, and then they moved Daniels back outside to guard.
And then your kicker, Pinheiro.
Oh, he did garbage. And no open competition. That conversation late in the game, they showed him, Nagy, talking to Trubisky. Mm-hmm. Is that conversation, I'm going to pull you here, let's make up an injury? Is that what they were talking about there?
Well, they came up with the hip very quickly afterwards because I don't know if you saw this or not, because I guess Sunday Night Football, NBC had to ask the Bears what's going on, mm-hmm. and Michaels mentioned during the broadcast, we've asked, and they don't know nothing. They're caught off guard by this, and then very soon after that, the Bears' Twitter account tweeted out that Mitchell Trubisky's out with a hip injury. Yeah, please.
He said it was late in the first half.
Yeah, his feelings are hurt, not his hips hurt.
He's not a good quarterback.
He's not.
Ryan Pace is not a good GM. His days are done, right? Well, he moved up to number two.
You can't make that move, Trent. You can't make it.
No?
No. I'm just saying Ryan Pace.
Ryan Pace, yeah.
Especially if he's not. I mean, I don't know where Trubisky's going to be next year. Probably in Chicago, but certainly as the backup playing. Mm-hmm. Playing the role of Chase Daniel, Mitchell Trubisky. Dylan Montz joins the program next. Nick Athan, about 10 minutes before the hour of 11, will opine on the Monday Nighter. Don't look now, Chiefs fans. Here come the Raiders. Miller and Condon till noon. It's Des Moines Sports Station. I used to hate when Brinson did that. Why did I do that? Because Brinson did it every time he thought, the Raiders. Jim, just say it normal. We're here till noon. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 14-6.
A dream builder.
It's 24-hour sports, morning, noon, and night, here on 1460 KXNO.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Nick Athan on the Chiefs here in about, 20 minutes. A little bit less than that. Right now, let's get Dylan Montz in here, Ames Tribune. He's about to listen in on Matt Campbell's teleconference. Final home game of the regular season this Saturday, 11 o'clock in the morning, Jack Trice Stadium. Boy, it goes fast, doesn't it, Dylan?
Yeah, it's really hard to believe that we're talking about that point in the year. When you think back to the Northern Iowa game early in the year, the Iowa game and all the game day hoopla that went into that. And
yep.
Here we are toward the tail end of the regular season, so it goes quick.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, look, at that was it was a fun football game. It really was. Iowa State's got the lead. Here comes Texas roaring back. They take the lead. And then the way it ended with, Texas jumping offside, allowing Iowa State to dictate how they were going to play the final sequence out. And they set it up, and Connor Sally, good for him, because I'm guessing there was a whole bunch of people that, crossing their fingers or whatever superstition that they were able was their go-to superstition in their seat or in their living rooms. They were doing it. But it was a no doubt about it. Sally kicked it right down the middle.
Yeah, I think everybody in the press box did control alt delete on their stories two or three times in the second half with how the different turns that game took. But yeah, I know there was some buzz and chatters. Should they have just tried to go for the touchdown? Do you leave it in the hands of the kicker, even though he's made some kicks for you and he's done some good things? But that's a high pressure situation. But obviously they went to the center. Purdy nailed it, and it was right down the middle. So good for him, just given kind of his arc being a walk-on and not really given a chance to even have that job until fall camp of 2018. So really impressive, and it also obviously lifts Iowa State into a different conversation than we would have been having when you stare at possibility of 8-4 versus maybe 6-6.
Yep.
Dylan, as you know, throughout our years of conversing, I'm a big offensive line guy, and Ken brought up the O-line earlier in the program today. It seems like everything is clicking now. Everything is put back together, and I'm already peeking ahead to next year, but there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to be moving on off this offensive line group. How they came together, how much of that needs to go back to Tom Manning? I know he's not the offensive line coach as he was before he departed to the Colts and the NFL, but a guy that certainly has a lot of input. How much do you put at the feet of Manning?
Yeah, quite a bit. Obviously, like you mentioned, he's not the offensive line coach anymore, but he is obviously, as the offensive coordinator, really involved with that group. Matt Campbell is as well. You go back to fall camp practices, and all the skill positions will be doing different drills, and you'll see Matt Campbell, Tom Manning, and Jeff Myers, who is the offensive line coach down there working with that group. And even during pregame warmups, Matt Campbell is down with Tom Manning and Jeff Myers watching the centers and quarterbacks exchange snaps, the first team, second team, third team, fourth team, so on. So obviously they're heavily involved. And as Myers is the offensive line coach, he's a disciple of those guys as well, played for him at Toledo. But Manning is kind of the head of that, just given his role within the offense. So pretty incredible what that group has been able to do after the first few weeks, where you thought, is it just more of the same from what we've seen the last several years? So kudos to those guys for really figuring something out.
Kudos to Jamal Johnson for really finishing out his senior season. I think he's playing his best football of his career at the final month of his season. And he was really, really good, I thought, against Texas, Dylan.
Yeah, and he got the start over Ray Lee.
Yeah, I saw that.
We didn't get to talk about it with Matt Campbell. There was a lot of other stuff, obviously, to get to. So hopefully either today or tomorrow we'll have a little bit more on Jamal Johnson and what went into that, whether it was a matchup that they saw there. Obviously, he's in there a lot anyway, especially on third downs, but really impressive. And I think he was involved in that blowing up the screen there late, too, on Texas's last drive. That gave Iowa State a chance to get the ball back and go down and kick the game winner. But really impressive. And, I'm sure, Matt Campbell's kind of kicking himself a little bit that they couldn't find a way to redshirt him in 2016. So they have another year, especially with all the turnover that's going to go on with the defensive line. But a really impressive way for him to end his senior year.
Do you think he'll get a sniff, Dylan, at the next level? I mean, they list him at 6 feet. Is he 6 feet?
Yeah, maybe not quite.
Okay.
There's always a little bit. He's not far off. I don't know if he's quite 6 feet, but it's not one of those 2 or 3 inch type of deals. I think he might not be quite there, but he's pretty close.
So I just wonder, NFL process, because we're seeing some guys, if you can play in the middle of the line, you don't have to be 6'4", 6'5". Now, there's not a lot of 5'11", 6 foot guys in there, but have you heard anything as far as his next level possibilities? I'm sure he'll get an opportunity, don't you think?
Yeah, I haven't heard much, but probably the reason we haven't heard
too early
as much as we should, it's early, but also I think people are, they read so much into the height stuff.
Yeah.
But I think once you kind of get to the end of the season, if you have some good performances like he did on Saturday, I think they're willing to overlook some of those things. And he's a really smart kid too, so I think that goes a long way. Even aside from the Texas game, I'm trying to remember what it was. It was a game early in the year. He did kind of the same thing and gave him a chance to get off the field. So I think what he lacks maybe in height, I think he can make up for in other ways. So I would imagine he'll get some sort of opportunity this spring to kind of go in and work out in front of some teams and maybe wind his way up on a NFL roster or practice squad next year.
Dylan, we saw the reemergence of Will McDonald out there making some plays, had a sack, a couple of hurries. He showed up in a big way. Such an interesting, dynamic player. Makes the move from linebacker, hand down, back and forth, linebacker, defensive end. What is he going to be? Going forward, where is his home, number 9, Will McDonald?
Yeah, I'd imagine he would stick on the defensive line now. I think they tried him at linebacker, and it was good. But he's as big as he is, he's almost a tweener between a defensive lineman and the linebacker, or defensive end, I should say. But I think if he adds some weight in the offseason, I think his home is at defensive line, especially when you talk about any Wazirike is going to be going into his last year. And, Will McDonald could end up playing almost as many snaps as him next year, I'm sure, if he does add that weight. But I think he looks more natural there. You're not asked to do as much. You just got to get out there, rush the tackle and find a way to get to the ball. And he did that really well against Texas. He bowled over the blocker that he was against and went and got Ellinger. So I think that's probably his natural spot, but it's going to be interesting to see, again, what kind of transformation he can make in the offseason. Can it be even a fraction of what Zach Peterson did last year, coming in and adding 40 pounds or whatever to his frame and playing as well as he is? So I think that's probably his home, though, and it's going to be interesting.
My last thing for you, Dylan. Lawrence White, I thought he was really good as well, and he's had his moments both ways. I thought the Texas game, number 11, made a ton of plays.
Yeah, he's kind of the guy that maybe doesn't get talked about as much, and there will be hiccups here and there, just like there is with anybody. But what did he have, that last sack on Ellinger, whatever to stop him. But yeah, I think he's kind of grown up and matured in the program as well. And he was playing with some experienced guys in the past when you talk about Brian Peavy and DeAndre Payne, and you know, even going back several years with Kamari Cotton Moya. He's kind of been there all along, and now he's kind of the guy people are looking to, especially as Greg Eisworth is kind of working his way back to health. So, I think, you know, there was a lot of questions about what the secondary is going to be like. And, you know, there's been ups and downs with that group, certainly. But, you know, he's been as steady maybe as they've had back there just because of some of the injury stuff with an Eisworth who you really rely on. But impressive year for him, too.
How was that not pass interference on Chase Allen?
Yeah.
I mean, no, geez.
I think maybe the officials were looking over at the line or the scoreboard or whatever it was. But, yeah, tough.
I'll say. Boys, you know, it's going to be a I don't know when seniors the Senior Day celebration is going to take place. I mean, what time it's going to start. But they got a whole bunch of guys that are going to be out on the field. I mean, there's four of the five offensive linemen, Deshaunte Jones, Petway, Crony, who am I missing on? I think that's it on offense, right? Then on the other side of the football, of course, Spears, Lima, Johnson, Braxton Lewis.
Yeah.
That it? Am I missing
Bickham?
Bickham.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of dudes.
So some pretty important guys, but I think there are obviously a lot. You know, you think about the names you didn't mention, there's going to be a lot, too. You know, Jaquan Bailey, I don't think we'll go through that.
Right.
I think that's kind of the plan that Matt Campbell said a few weeks ago, that he'll be back in 2020. But
McMillan, the linebacker, 44?
Bobby McMillan, yep. Yeah, I'd have to run down the roster to find everybody. But, there's going to be a lot of important faces that go through that. And, the offensive line you mentioned. So, it usually takes place during warm-ups in the lead-up is when it's done in the past. Everybody kind of runs out through the tunnel with their families and stuff. So I imagine in the, you know, half hour or whatever leading up to kickoff is when it'll happen.
The big Aussie, Matt Leo.
There you
taking
go.
Taking the field for the final time. How old is he? Isn't he 20, what, 27?
27, yeah.
He's literally, not exaggerating, he's literally almost as old as me.
That's crazy.
By a couple months.
Dylan, good stuff. We'll talk to you on Friday. Kansas coming to town 11 o'clock in the morning. When will we find out what time the K-State game kicks?
Hopefully around 11, so not
good.
Too far off, unless it's one of those 6-day window type of things, which I don't think it will be, but we should know definitively around 11 or maybe a little bit after.
Did you see the end of the Oklahoma Baylor game?
I didn't. I was making my way back from Ames. I watched some of the highlights though, and just unbelievable.
Really,
I know Jalen Hurts had a couple gaps here and there, but he's impressive, and they didn't have CeeDee Lamb either, so
right.
I don't know really how they did it, especially with the way Baylor's played defensively this year.
Good stuff, Dylan. We'll talk to you on Friday. Have a good week.
Yeah, you too, guys. Take care.
Good to talk to you. Dylan Monts, Ames Tribune. Read Dylan. AmesTrib.com. AmesTrib.com.
So I took a peek when it was 21-3 at the live line.
In the Iowa State game?
No, in the Oklahoma.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It was still only Oklahoma plus 375.
I saw you tweet that, actually.
I'm like,
well, a lot of stuff.
I should have waited until it got to 28-3. Probably would have bumped up to what? Plus 600?
Yeah, at that point you would think.
750?
Came roaring. What a finish.
I loved their chances of coming back, even as poorly as they were playing. Just never found that right place. Price, I love looking at those live lines, just how they fluctuate, even throughout the course of a drive. It's fun to watch. And there's many people out there, pros, that bet, and that's all they do. They do not bet.
They flop. They want to find a vulnerability if they can. All right, we will talk with our buddy Nick Athan, ChiefsInsider.next. Nick will join us. We will take a look at MNF. You can read Nick Primetime Sports. Talk.com, primetimesportstalk.com. He joins the program next. Trent and I till noon. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 1460.
Lawfirm.com. KXNO in your pocket with iHeartRadio on your smartphone. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Hi, welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Let's spend some time with the Vice President of Operations, PrimetimeSportsTalk.com. That's a big title. Nick Athan deserves it. Nick, good to speak with you. How are you, Trent and Ken?
I'm doing pretty good, guys. How you doing? Thanks for that nice intro.
Absolutely. How's the site doing, Primetime Sports Talk?
Actually, it's doing really well.
Good.
It was a merger. It's a merger we did. We're really happy. We've got probably a staff of about 65 writers, so it's been great.
Yeah, there's a lot of content up there, Nick, no doubt about it. I recommend primetimesportstalk.com. Spend some, carve out some time and read some stuff. Nick, let's all of a sudden, don't look now, here come the Raiders, right? And look, I do this every year, and Trent reminds me, you do this every year when I get the bump from the Hard Knocks, and it was the Raiders in the spotlight this year. I thought they were going to be better for the first time. I think I'm going to be right when it comes to this. Raiders are quietly putting together a pretty good season. Big spot for the Chiefs tonight to try and hold them off.
Yeah, no, this is as much as it gets for the Chiefs. I mean, they're going to have to win this football game. It'll be the first time their offensive line is together, which will certainly help. Actually, I think every offensive player that was expected to start will be on the field for the first time this season. That Damian Williams was out week one. The Raiders, they're 6-4, six wins by 7 points or less. That means you're living right more times than you're not. I thought they looked pretty average yesterday against the Bengals. I mean, they should have blown that team out by 30 points, but they struggled. So I'm not going to anoint them as AFC West champs, but they do have a chance to get that sixth wild card spot in their schedule. They go to at New York and at Kansas City the next 2 weeks. After that, they got complete cakewalks. So we'll know about the Raiders after the next two games.
Taking a look at the Chargers, a banged-up team. They've been in and out with their offensive tackles and the offensive line as a whole, defensive injuries, and a new offensive coordinator after they jettisoned Ken Wisenhunt even after a victory against the Bears here a few weeks back. When you look across and you look at that Chargers team, what are you seeing?
They still got old man Rivers, he plays well against the Chiefs. The only time the Chiefs obviously had his number, but 7 out of the last 8, but that's largely because they've been putting a lot of pressure in their offensive line, the right tackle, left tackle, and I don't even know who's going to play tonight. They certainly have some injuries on their defense, but I thought the move to switch coordinators clearly was evident in the way they played against the Packers. So I think, listen, this is a team that they beat the Chiefs, the 20-30 points. If Patrick Mahomes decides, if Andy Reid actually takes the shackles off Patrick Mahomes, then I think absolutely, this is going to be a good game. But for them right now, they got running backs, they got receivers, they got a veteran quarterback. Those are not good recipes for a Chiefs defense. It really shouldn't.
Yeah, having a little struggle with your cell phone there, Nick. Maybe you can move a foot or two because you're going in and out. Let me ask you about how they handled this week in preparation for Mexico. The Chargers packed up everything and went to Colorado Springs and used the Air Force's facilities, and they trained in Colorado Springs. The Chiefs have stayed home. I don't know if it's between the years. I don't, but both teams handled it differently. Did you read anything into that?
No, I really don't. I mean, I think that, both the teams play in Denver and they play in high altitude, so they certainly know what to experience. I think maybe they just wanted to get out of L.A. for a week and just get away from all the noise and trying to refocus and just kind of do what they have to do to prepare for this game. I don't think it really gives one team an edge over the other. I know the Chiefs had, talked about doing that last year when they were going to be playing in Mexico and the league told them no. So I just think, hey, it's just that maybe it's just a time to get the team away, get them focused for what's ahead.
What can you tell us about Damian Williams? He showed up on the practice report as questionable on Friday, not because of an injury, but because of what they're calling a family personal matter. Looks like he's back to Mexico. He's ready to go. But what do you know about this situation, and all systems go with Williams at running back tonight?
Yeah, I don't know. That just tells me that he's in Andy Reid's doghouse. Same thing with McCoy last week. I think that both of them have had some time in Andy Reid's doghouse. And, I think this is a way for them to motivate him, to get him ready to hold on to the football and start making plays. I mean, he was so good at the end of last year for the Chiefs. And, they just don't trust him enough. That's something the Chiefs are going to have to do. They're going to have to run this football to be successful, to make a deep run in the postseason. And right now, Williams is probably their best option because of the inconsistency with McCoy.
Yeah. Did McCoy even get a carry against Tennessee?
I think no. He was inactive.
Was he?
Yeah. He was inactive. They didn't suit him up at all.
Wow, that's surprising. That Tennessee game, Nick. I have no idea, obviously, how the season's going to play itself out. But boy, you're going to be looking back in that one, right? How did they lose that football game?
You know, you can blame Andy Reid for some really poor play calling. You can blame the defense. You can blame the special teams. I mean, they did everything to hand that football game to the Titans. And this happens. I mean, this is why you question Andy Reid sometimes when he just doesn't know how to put the throttle down on a team. You know, he clearly, you've got Patrick Mahomes, you give him the ball, third down, fourth down, it makes no difference. You put the ball in his hands and you don't design a play for a backup tight end who's injured. You know, none of what he did in the fourth quarter made a whole lot of sense to me. But, you know, this team always has losses like this. But again, you know, who thought the Falcons were going to go wipe the slate with the Saints last weekend either? So, you know, any given Sunday, and right now this is Andy Reid and the Chiefs are allowing any given Sunday to take new meaning. That's four losses now based on penalties or turnovers or the inability to contain a quarterback when they had him in their grasp. So one play in each one of those games, and the Chiefs are undefeated. So at this point, they have to break the shackles of this, and Andy Reid has to let Patrick Mahomes be Patrick Mahomes and quit trying to overthink things and complicate things. Listen, Bill Belichick doesn't take the ball out of Tom Brady's hands ever. Andy Reid needs to do the same with Patrick Mahomes.
Final thing for me, offensive line getting back healthy, that's good. You hopefully defensive buttons get pushed this week for the Chiefs on their side. But the third component, Dave Tobin, his special teams unit, uncharacteristically awful against the Titans. Two field goals that went completely awry. Hardman that tried to return a punt inside the five? It was just
ridiculous.
One thing after another, special teams, with one of the best and most respected special team coaches out there, you got to anticipate that'll be cleaned up this week.
No, it's going to have to be. I mean, I think they need to put Tyreek Hill back on special teams. They need a spark. If you watch, teams are kicking short to Hardman because he has a history of fumbling, and they want him to make a return because he doesn't secure the ball. So I think one of the reasons why you've seen, you know, them struggle a little bit. I think the other thing too is just, you know, you never see the mistake from what the Chiefs have. I mean, you know, one of special teams with field goals, I mean, it just doesn't happen. So I just call that kind of a fluke. I'm not going to complain about that offsides. They're not offsides on the block.
It was sure close.
Yeah, it was close enough, but they weren't going to call it. And there's no way to review it. Even though it is a reviewable play at the end of the game, but nonetheless, that definitely will be cleaned up. But I think you'll see Tyreek Hill on special teams this week.
Last thing for you, Nick. Who's the best team in the AFC?
It's not even close. The Baltimore Ravens.
I agree with you. I agree.
Not even close.
Opening some eyes. Nick, great stuff. Bye week coming up, so we'll grab you on Thanksgiving week at some point. Thank you, Nick Athan.
Guys, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Nick Athan, Chiefs Insiders, where that's his Twitter handle. You can read Nick and all the other sports content, primetimesportstalk.com. Bama Bob, Trent, and I will talk college football. We'll go around it on a national perspective. Scott Dockerman, bottom of the 11 o'clock hour. Miller and Condon here until noon. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.